Welcome to As for Football's Army Football Show with your host and As for Football First Captain Rob Wright, an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army football team throughout their season as they seek to claim the Commander-in-Chief Trophy.
Welcome back, Army fans. We are in the middle of bowl mania. Army is going to a bowl. If you were on the show last week, you knew that, you know, near the end of the recording, we got the late breaking news that Tennessee had tested positive for COVID and were having some tracing issues. Since then, they have dropped out of the Liberty Bowl. Army has taken their place. It has been a hell of a week. With me to kind of break it down is Dan in Coastal Connecticut. And as a very special guest, we have Army Insider, the man who knows what's going on the ground, Sal in Hudson Valley, New York. Sal, we'll go ahead and start with you. How you doing? How you feeling? Are you ready for the bowl?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, guys. You know, it's coming up quick. I'm not a calendar guy, so I'm trying to figure out when New Year's Eve is. And for some reason, I thought it was on a Saturday, but now it's coming up. It's not right around the corner on a Thursday. These guys are, I think they're practicing actually on Sunday, their first kind of real practice preparing for West Virginia. Not too much time to get ready for the Mountaineers, but definitely fired up. Great matchup. Definitely better than I think any matchup they could have gotten in the Independence Bowl. So really excited to talk about it.
Absolutely. Dan, how you doing?
You know, man, I'm loving it. We, like I said, we're getting ready to go ski again, which is awesome. Of course, they had about 2 inches of rain up in Vermont, so we may be hitting the bobsled track. Meanwhile, the Army football team has got some time to get ready. I'm cautiously optimistic about this matchup. It is definitely the Power Five big time matchup that we were looking for. You know, Mountaineers aren't afraid. They want to see what they can do. It's going to be good.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great football game. I'm really excited to see kind of the clash between the perennial Big 12, all offense, no defense, and then Army, low scoring, ground and pound, you know, defensive struggle. So it'll be really interesting to see which direction the game kind of goes. But as a special reminder, we are brought to you by Emblem Athletic. You should be a gear hero for your unit. Those of you that follow the show know that they've sponsored us for quite a while. We use them for our Christmas Attack t-shirts, and the experience was totally easy and much faster than expected. If you need any type of corporate gear, sporting gear, you name it, you need to go to Emblem Athletic, and they're going to take care of you. So, rolling right into the bowl drama, like we alluded to, it didn't really go smoothly. We were supposed to go to the Independence Bowl. We were the first team to accept that bowl bid. And then all of a sudden, kind of these different dominoes started falling. And, you know, the Pac-12 started opting out, and then the Big Ten. And then all of a sudden, we were left without a bowl game. And I was sitting in the Delta Lounge drinking my free Miller Lite and rage tweeting at Scott Frost and the Pac-12.
Free Miller Lite? Come on, man.
Hey, it's the free drink. I'm not going to spend miles to get the IPA. Like, no. I'm going to take it. I'm going to give the lady her tip, and we're going to call it a day. So it's free beer. It's free beer.
All right, go ahead.
End of the day, though, Army's actually going to the Liberty Bowl, which is double or three times the payout of what the Independence Bowl is. So from a business perspective, it's a great move. It's a higher ranked bowl. More people are going to watch it. It's in Memphis, Tennessee. We're facing West Virginia out of the Big 12. And then it's Thursday, December 31st at 4 p.m. on ESPN, that money slot. So I'm feeling pretty good about this. Dan, what's your kind of initial reaction to all the bowl drama, the roller coaster? We've come to a screeching halt. Where are you at?
Well, you know, the Tennessee Volunteers volunteered to come down with COVID issues following a 3-win season. I don't know what the future is with Butch Jones and his coaching staff. It probably isn't super bright, but I hesitate to say
Jones? Wait, this is not like 2012. It's Pruitt.
Well, that shows that I know. I'm a huge Tennessee fan, obviously.
Butch Jones has just got another job. He went to Alabama, now he's going somewhere else. So.
All right. Well, anyway, as I said, I hate it when people get sick, but I'm happy that they acknowledged their COVID issues and decided to give Army a chance. Yeah, man. Like I said, I'm feeling good. Crazy week, though. You know, we ended up – Stanford opted out before all the craziness. Then Southern California opted out after they lost the Pac-12 title game. And then just, like, so many teams. It's really crazy. And we'll never know how many teams opted out, but I get the sense that at least five teams just flat didn't want to play Army, which that's disgusting.
Yeah. Sal, do you have any insight into that and any teams that kind of chickened out when they found out the Army was going to roll into town?
You know, word was out there that Boise State did. And, you know, you look at Boise State, they had some, you know, they had played BYU this season. They, you know, they do play Air Force on a regular basis. Maybe they've, you know, known about the option in the past and what it was like to prepare against an option. Army runs it a little differently than Air Force, but I think that was, you know, we talked about this before. I think that was a big, you know, play. Preparing against this offense is not easy to do in a short amount of time. And I keep on saying preparing against this defense isn't easy to do this year either. Our defense is damn good, you know? So, I mean, you add all that up, and I think that, you know, it's glad to see West Virginia step up and, like, within an hour say, okay, let's play ball. You know, let's see where we stack up. Let's see where you stack up. Let's do it. Because, you know, I give Neil Brown and his team a lot of credit for doing that, because some other teams, as we know, just balked and then walked away. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I heard a little rumor that Army had replied to the Independence Bowl that, hey, we won in, and then they went and leaked it to the media after all this, you know, national attention had come down and people at ESPN said they were going to boycott bowl season if Army didn't get a bowl. And so it kind of forced them into it because, you know, everyone had heard that Army, you know, had offered to go to the bowl. I don't know how true that is, but just looking through the comments and the responses on, you know, Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, and all these West Virginia fans are just so excited to play Army. And it's, oh, we love you, coach. Thank you for doing this. Good. Like, it's just, it's really cool to see just the mutual respect that these two programs have, despite only playing three times in the last 150 years. But how much, you know, West Virginia just wants to play Army, how cool they think that is. And then all the Army fans are like, hey, West Virginia, good for you. You guys had the stones to step up and play us on short notice. So that's just really cool to kind of see that mutual respect go back and forth.
I got to say, I definitely think that there was a concerted effort to make it impossible for teams to say no. Like, I think that Jeff Munkin, the way that he phrased a lot of that press that he did, was to make it harder for these athletic departments to back out. And, you know, to their credit, I don't get the sense that West Virginia was like, crap, can we get out of this? Like, that is not the sense that I get in any way.
No, but, not at all.
But a good reason why they landed in the Liberty Bowl instead of having, what was it, Mississippi State jump up to the Liberty Bowl and send Army to whatever other bowl that was going to be. The Military Bowl. Oh my God, yeah. That would have been horrible. I think that concerted pressure to get into the Liberty Bowl and just to keep it easy and the optics, like, that was done on purpose.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Munkin's a smart guy. The people in the ODIA and the Athletic Association, they're smart. They knew what they were doing. And there were times that all the outrage on Twitter and, you know, I mean, it blew up. I don't know if we were trending, but we were damn close.
We definitely were trending.
Yeah, I mean, everybody on College Game Day and Fox Big Noon Kickoff and ESPN, just everybody was like, this is a travesty of justice. We need to do something about this. And like I said, it took on a life of its own. But, you know, looking back, I think Munkin was very much in control of what was going on. So I'm excited. Dan, you're excited. Sal, are you excited? What's your feeling going into this matchup?
Yeah, you know, I was just going to say one of my favorite parts of the week was when I saw the video on Twitter that Nick Detterman, Army equipment manager, put up. He had the equipment rolling case, and he had the sticker with the, you know, the Independence Bowl on it, the piece of paper with the Independence Bowl on it, ripped it off, put up the new sticker of the Liberty Bowl. It was just pretty cool to see that. You know, I think that, you know, this is going to be an interesting matchup, of course, because, you know, West Virginia has talent that Army doesn't see often. You know, yes, Army's played Cincinnati, and Cincinnati's had a good season, but the athletes that West Virginia will put on the on the field. You know, I haven't heard of any opt-outs from West Virginia yet. So the talent that they'll put on the field will definitely be a challenging for Army. And it'll be like basically, you know, a style game. You know, the Army's going to have to have one of those long drives that we're accustomed to. Hey, a 16-play drive to start off the game or a 16-play drive early and finishing with a touchdown will work against West Virginia and will keep their offense off the field and hopefully wear down their defense. I think that's the game Army has to play if they want to be competitive in this game, obviously. And, you know, you see it's about a touchdown favorite for West Virginia. And I think that, you know, if Army plays the style it's been playing this year, they can certainly hang around. I think that this team can hang around with West Virginia. They're just that grinded out type of team.
Yeah, absolutely. And you touched on a couple things there that I kind of want to unpack. First of all, touchdown dog, you're absolutely correct. I think it started at 9 points, slid to 6 or 7. I've seen some score predictions that, you know, West Virginia is going to win by a late field goal, but, you know, the consensus is that it's going to be a very low scoring game. Dan, does this matchup remind you at all, at least the hype kind of going into it and the prep going into it, of when we played San Diego State in 2017?
It's just such a different team though. I mean, yeah, it reminds me a little bit in the sense that when the 2017 team went into the matchup with San Diego State, I thought they were going to get smoked. Yeah. That San Diego State team, I think they won 10 games. Like, that was a good team. We all saw Rashad Penny was just at the next level. I mean, he's been very successful in the NFL. I honestly did not think Army was going to compete with them all that well. This time, I guess we've seen Army go up against these Big 12 teams, and especially some elements of the way that that they match up specifically against the Mountaineers makes me think that there's a lane there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we'll get into the specifics a little bit more. I guess the thing about it is that people are sort of expecting Army to come strong. So, God, I hope they do.
Yeah, exactly. I really hope we don't come out and kind of, you know.
Yeah,
I think it's something PG to say, but, you know, don't do as well as we should on offense. That would be very unfortunate.
Yeah.
Sal, the last thing you kind of said was, you know, West Virginia's had no opt-outs. And I'm not going to go on a rant, but I hate when people opt out, when they spend all season talking about, oh, I'm in this for my brothers, and then they, like, opt out, you know, before the conference championship or before the bowl game or whatever. I hate that. And you're absolutely right. I followed, you know, West Virginia's coach on Twitter. I followed West Virginia football. They have had no opt-outs. I mean, all of their guys are playing in this bowl game. So, you know, one, I love that just as a fan of football and that, you know, they've built this culture and this team of guys who still want to keep playing. And then, you know, two, it's like, okay, well, we're going against a team that actually wants to play football. And that's not something that we have really seen in 2020. Especially in the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. But we are playing a team that wants to play football, wants to play Army. And, yeah, that's exciting, but definitely a little nervous. So, you know, like I said, we'll see what happens when things get going. But I do agree that there is a path to an Army victory. And why don't we go ahead and talk about that, Dan? Do you want to lead us off with the good?
Yes. So the good, the bad, and the ugly is always a staple here. And so the good, as we said, Army has a bowl game against a Power 5 opponent. That's good. It definitely did not look like it was going to shake out that way for a minute. This is a better matchup than the Independence Bowl against Boise State would have been by any metric. So that is amazing. In fact, college football really rallied around the Black Knights. We talked about that. The entire episode gave Jeff Munkin a chance to do a ton of national media and raise the program's stature and exposure. I mean, especially coming off the Navy game and then winning the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy, like, I would say Army football had a pretty good month overall. And finally, you know, good is that the Army players got to go home before the bowl game after having been at West Point for months and months and months, and that is tough. So hopefully we see a rested, refocused Army team without, you know, too many issues coming into this bowl game.
Yeah, and just to kind of double down, talk about the free press, you know, because of COVID, we were unable to see some family members in my family, but we, you know, figured out a way to FaceTime my great aunts. And they do not watch football. And they've been to West Point to visit me, but they do not watch football. But they just kept talking about every time they turn on the news, you know, there's a picture of West Point or something, you know, just on, you know, CNN or whatever they're watching, because there's just been so much buzz around West Point and the program and everything. Now, some of it's been negative with the cheating scandal, but a lot of it's been very positive throughout the month of December. So I think it has been a good media month for Army and West Point as a whole.
I was going to say, you know, it stinks that it takes college football to get West Point on the map, because, you know, West Point is about a lot of things besides college football. But it's also true that that's one of the best ways that the Academy has to put itself forward in a positive light that the public understands. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're never going to understand what it's like to throw your flaming printer out the window at 2 a.m. during finals week. But they understand college football and getting fired up for that.
Exactly. And it makes the Academy more accessible. So I think it's good. You know, I do agree that it would be nice if we could see more about the Academy as a whole, but I think football is probably the best way to accomplish that. Sal, I know you do a lot of work with recruits. Did you have any insight in how football kind of helps attract people to the Academy?
Yeah, there's a ton. I mean, you look at, you know, some of these guys are seeing Army for the first time when they get a text message or a direct message on Twitter from Army football coaches, and they're learning about it. I remember talking to one recruit. I believe he was at California that Sean Saturnio was recruiting. And Sean Saturnio would, you know, as much as you can contact recruits during this crazy COVID pandemic, Saturnio kept on reminding this kid about the brotherhood and what the brotherhood means to not only the football team, but also, you know, West Point in general, and then also the U.S. Army. And, you know, this kid was really gravitated to it. A kid who really didn't know too much until, say, March, he was contacted by Saturnio. And he, anytime you talk to these kids, you know, you ask them, what's the main reason why you're coming to Army? And a lot of them say it's the brotherhood. A lot of them say it's what they found out from the coaches about the tight-knit group that and the culture that Jeff Munkin's built. They talk about, I guess maybe some of them may direct message with, you know, current players or former players, or might have a connection to somebody that's put on an Army uniform, and they're really pumped up for this. And when you have a 9-2 season, that certainly helps recruiting. Going in to the season, guys, they're coming off a 5-8 season, right? Navy and Air Force have had really good seasons last year. I think Army was starting to fall a little bit behind maybe amongst, you know, recruits and how they would list the service academies, but now with the season that they had, they're right back in there fighting for kids. So.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, talking about the brotherhood, you know, if I was a recruit and I was watching this go down and I saw Jeff Munkin on ESPN talking about, you know, just give us a day and we'll figure out how to get the trucks there. We'll play in the parking lot. We don't care. We don't have to practice. We'll play anybody anywhere. That fires me the hell up. Like, I want to go play for that man. So, I think it was good. Unfortunately, though, there is some bad and ugly. It is absolutely a better bowl matchup. Timing is not quite as ideal, just because West Virginia has, you know, more time to prepare for the triple option, which isn't the end of the world, but still not as ideal as they had found out, you know, 2 days before they were going to play the option. Additionally, you know, positive is that we were able to send a lot of our guys home for Christmas, but now they have to pass COVID tests. So, you know, fingers crossed that they were disciplined and followed the protocol. And the ugly is that half of college football opted out of bowl games. You know, yesterday was Saturday, the 26th. We were supposed to have 6 bowl games, and we had 3. And UAB, the Conference USA champion, who didn't even have a program 10 years ago, won their conference. They don't even get to play in a bowl game because South Carolina had to opt out of the Gasparilla Bowl. 11 bowls have been canceled as of this recording. We're left with just 28. And if you hate college football or think the Rose Bowl is the only game that should be played and everything else is unnecessary or whatever, I hope you're happy. But the rest of America is not really happy with not having as many bowls. Dan, do you have any thoughts? I'm sure you do.
Yeah, man. I mean, first off, if you think that there are too many bowl games, I'm not sure why you watch the sport. You know, last night, the Cure Bowl, which
is electric.
Yeah. What is that? Like a 10 years old, 12 years old? That's got to be the best college football game of the year. And, you know, yeah, the Liberty Flames beat the Mullets. I don't think that was necessarily the story that America was looking for. But, oh, my God, what a game. You know, it was just that was college football at its finest. And, you know, we also saw a really good game earlier between Marshall and Buffalo. If you do not have time for that in your college football diet, like, I don't even know what to tell you, because we said it before on this program. The group of five has absolutely been where it's at this season.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, especially the Sun Belt. Sun Belt went, what, 4-1 in the postseason? You know, Coastal Carolina had won last night, they'd be 5-0. Like, that's just incredible.
Not to mention the fact that Liberty, if they were actually in the ACC, would probably be the third or the fourth ranked team. I mean, they beat quite a few ACC opponents this year.
Yeah, they beat two or three. And, you know, I know they lost to NC State by 1 point, but they beat Syracuse and Virginia Tech. I mean, Liberty's season this year looked like Notre Dame's season in a typical year, where they play a bunch of ACC teams and then a bunch of other random teams from around the country. So
that's absolutely right. And if they were Notre Dame and not Liberty, they would have got a very different set of looks at bowl season. Not that what we got last night wasn't outstanding, and I'm glad we got a chance to see that matchup. But, yo, those teams, they could have destroyed some better competition, too. And we've seen that out of both those teams at times this year.
Yeah, and I saw the statistic that talked about how Liberty and Coastal Carolina are the two newest promotions from FCS to FBS. And there are still players on both of those teams' rosters who were with the program when they were FCS, made the jump to FBS, and now they're playing each other in, you know, a bowl game. And one of the top, you know, higher tier non-New Year's Six bowl games. And that's just incredible. And that's what the sport is all about. And just, you know, what a ride it has been for both of those programs, both of those guys, regardless of your opinions on the programs as a whole. But just, you know, as someone who loves football, it's just incredible to watch. It was a great game. And as the announcers said 49 freaking times, it was supposed to be played on December 5th, but they had to reschedule due to COVID. So,
you know, it's funny, Jordan, we were watching the game last night very closely. My stepson just graduated from Coastal in May. And,
congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. And so he's a big fan. He thought that this was kind of a makeup game because Liberty couldn't play earlier in the season. And, of course, he wanted bigger and better. He wanted Power 5 schools in the bowl game. But what was funny last night is my wife was commenting on, you know, the announcers were a little too much for her. She wanted me to start doing the play-by-play and provide because they were just so repetitive. They were saying this, so they didn't really have a lot. They didn't have a lot of the material, so to speak, right? So my wife wanted me to do play-by-play. Meanwhile, I'm banging out a blog on the snaps played by the offense and defense against Air Force last night, you know? So,
Gosh.
Why the game going on? So, yeah. So
that's awesome. I have noticed that the announcers who don't travel to the games and are, like, sitting in their basement, like, they're not good. It's, I don't know what it is, if, like, they can't play off each other because they're not in the booth together or they're not there, but, like, they just say the same. They just keep repeating the same buzzwords over and over, and it's not great.
We get spoiled having Ben Holden and Ross Tucker, because those guys both really care about the program, and they're both, you know, extremely knowledgeable, and even will take criticisms from the fan base to heart and make changes. And, you know, you just don't get that from some of these guys, especially guys who feel like they should be covering the Power Five and they're stuck covering the Group of Five, and they don't sort of understand that this is what's going on in college football right now. Like, this is the center of gravity, and that just drives me crazy.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, Ben Holt, Ross Tucker, great. You know, we'll tweet at them. I know we've had some of our firsties pass along some feedback that then we've been able to pass along to them. So they do listen and they do care, and they actually want to be a part of the program and not just kind of come in, call the game, and leave. So, and that's rare. So moving on to Fact or Fiction Revisited from last week. We had a whole crew last week. So I said that we will see an expansion of the playoffs / changes to bowl structure next season. That is to be determined. Everybody said fiction. We're all cynics.
Nobody's talking about it.
Well, yeah. But they were a week ago when Army was going to get left out. They were kind of talking about it. And now that Army's in a bowl game, they've all kind of forgotten about it.
Yeah, man, I don't think it's happening. I'm telling you, they're going to convince themselves, especially if Ohio State plays well, then this is going to disappear.
I would really love to see Ohio State and Notre Dame lose by like 40 points, and then we get Alabama Clemson version 6 and just go from there. So,
well, you should be prepared for that. That's what's going to happen.
I know. If Ohio State gets in, I'm not watching the game. That's beside the point. Dan, what was your fact or fiction last week?
I said that Army backs into a bowl game at the last minute, and as we've been talking about this whole time, that is in fact fact, which is ironic because right before it happened, Jackson Deaton and I both said fiction. So there you go. You and Rob have it, and that's awesome.
Yeah, and you're a cynic once again.
That's right. Never going to change.
It's because you live in the Northeast and you don't get to see enough sun.
Oh, my. So. I walked into that one.
Yeah, you kind of did. All right, moving on to the Liberty Bowl preview. You know, we've been messing around, having a good time. Here's what you're all really here for. Dan, take us through this kind of first point about West Virginia, how they finished the season, just high level.
So West Virginia has had a good but definitely not a great season. They finished 5-4, sixth in the Big 12. They're exactly in the top half. If you're looking at the Power 5 matchup that you wanted in a bowl as a, you know, Group 5 or mid-major, this is pretty much exactly what you were looking for because it's not a killer roster. Like, these guys aren't a threat to go to the college football playoff, but they're definitely very good. And it's an old school Power Five program. They opened up by beating Eastern Kentucky 56-10. They then lost to Oklahoma State 27-13, beat Baylor 27-21, beat Kansas 38-17, lost to Texas Tech 34-27. They then beat number 16, Kansas State 37-10. That's their best win of the season by a mile. They then lost to number 22, Texas, 17-13. They beat Texas Christian 24-6, had their game against Oklahoma postponed, lost to Iowa State 42-6, and then the game against Oklahoma was canceled. So they, like I said, they finished 5-4. They got a couple of good wins in there, but they have not played football since December 5th. Also worth noting is that they are much, much better at home. I don't know what that's going to be worth in the bowl game.
Yeah, I mean, it's still the same part of the country, but it's not home field advantage. Well,
it's not around the corner. I don't know if you've ever done that drive before, but driving from West Virginia to Memphis, Tennessee, that is not around the corner.
No, yeah, and you know, it's ironic that you know they're really, really good at home because during the Civil War, no one could win West Virginia, so they just hide up in the mountains, and then in Prohibition, no one could go in, and they just hit all the distilleries in the mountains. So I guess West Virginia is the ultimate home field advantage. Sal, what are your thoughts, high level, on this West Virginia team?
Well, it's what West Virginia team will Army get? Because it seems like they have at times played up to their competition, and at times they haven't given that consistent effort for four quarters. You know, that's what I look at. And you think that they're going to be motivated to play this game. They're telling you they want to play in this game. So you got to see what West Virginia team will we get in this game. I think that, you know, going back, Dan, when you mentioned Eastern Kentucky in their opener, right, 56-10 or whatever the score was, former Army quarterback Trent Steelman is the quarterback's coach at Eastern Kentucky. I don't know if Tucker Wilde dials him up a little bit to ask him what kind of defense. I know it was the first game of the season, but what they might throw at, you know, Army's offense there. You know, I think that this is going to be interesting to see how Woody attacks West Virginia's offense, if especially on passing down. Does he send a lot of pressure, or does he hang back? And hopefully Army has some secondary members back this week and can play the five defensive backs if needed. Because I don't know how you see this, Dan. Do you think that West Virginia will kind of mix it up, or do you see them more of smash mouth this game? Or I know their quarterback's pretty accurate and has had a good season. So.
Well, so I actually spent the morning watching highlights of some of their games, and they run a pro-style play-action passing game supported by a strong running game. They're pretty good on offense, 277.2 yards per game passing, 145.4 yards per game rushing. That equals 422.7 yards per game total, which is a lot, 5.5 yards per play. That's also pretty respectable. Quarterback Jarrett Doje, I hope I said that correctly, 224 of 349 passing. That's 64% for almost 2,500 yards, 13 touchdowns against just three interceptions, but he's taken 18 sacks. Dude is definitely a pocket passer. I did not see him run a single time. They have him listed with 37 rushing attempts for negative 80 yards. So
that's not a typo. That's negative.
Yeah, 80. Negative 80 yards. So that's basically a couple of runs in there plus a lot of sack yardage. Their leading running back, not that they only play one, but their leading running back is a guy named Letty Brown, 179 carries for 945 yards. That's 5.3 yards per carry. That's nine touchdowns. He's also got 31 catches for 202 yards, 6.5 yards per catch, with two receiving touchdowns. When I was watching this, I was really, really impressed with their passing game to their backs out of the backfield. Wide receiver Winston Wright leads the team with catches. He's got 45, averages over 11 yards per catch, two touchdowns. And then they've got two downfield wide receiving threats, Bryce Ford Wheaton and TJ Simmons. Those guys are fast. Like they're fast. So, you know, there's no part of this offense that doesn't work. It looks exactly like what I wish the Giants would look like on Sunday, to be honest with you. They got good running backs, good possession receiver, two downfield threats, backs can catch out of the backfield, excellent touchdown interception ratio. The only weakness that you see watching this is that they take quite a bit of sacks. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, they're a good football team. And, you know, like Sal kind of alluded to, and Dan, you really touched on, like, they have all the pieces there. And when they play as a team and they put all the pieces together, they're very dominant on both sides of the football. But then there are other games where they just don't quite get all the pieces together.
You would think if you could get that running game stopped and then start getting pressure on the quarterback, that there's some opportunities there. But, you know, Doje is not a guy who's going to throw a lot of picks. Three picks all season. Like, that's, you know, I wouldn't be looking for turnovers. I'd be looking for sacks.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we have not done a fantastic job of putting pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah.
So, we'll see what Nate Woody dials up. I'm sure he has some blitz packages ready to go. But, you know, speaking about defense, we're going to talk about West Virginia's defense. They're the 24th ranked rushing defense. Only allow 126 yards rushing per game, 3.6 yards per carry. Probably influenced by the teams they've played, you know, playing the Big 12, lot of pass heavy teams. However, 3.6 yards per carry, you do that three times, that's a first down. So maybe an opportunity for us to run the ball. They are a ball hawking defense. Like we've said, they play in a very pass heavy conference. 10 interceptions, 7 forced fumbles, 2 fumble recoveries. Linebacker Tony Fields has 88 tackles, 1 sack, 2 passes defended, 1 interception. Safety Tyke Smith, 61 tackles, 5 passes defended, 2 interceptions. And then cornerback Alonzo Ade, 61 tackles, 2 interceptions. So kind of a tough draw with the triple option when you see a really good linebacker and great safeties as kind of their leaders on defense, leading tacklers. Good news is that their D-line has not really made a ton of tackles. Once again, because of the offenses they've played against, they haven't really had to. But, you know, hopefully that we can get the dive going and kind of that QB power and just kind of move down the field that way. West Virginia has also struggled against mobile quarterbacks and read option looks. So we might find some success in misdirection plays, rolling the quarterback out of the pocket. Dan, I know you love that naked bootleg that Christian Anderson does. So
they're going to have to use that. I watched the highlights from the Iowa State game, which if you want to watch one set of highlights, that's the one. Iowa State beat them with an offense that looks exactly like what Cincinnati is running. Just a straight read option running the quarterback. And they killed West Virginia's defense. They just killed them.
Yeah. Speaking of quarterbacks, Sal, do you have any insight in who might start, who's healthy? I saw TT on Twitter this morning talking about, you know, going home was great, and every time I go home, it motivates me to be better at West Point. I know he also said that, you know, he just busted his lip. He was fine, ready to play again. Do you have any kind of insight in who we can expect to see?
Yeah, I think Tyler wants to play. I think Tyler wants to start. It would be interesting to see where the coaches go with this. I mean, Anderson, you know, he was ready. He came off the bench and really played well against Air Force. I think Munkin's the guy who says, well, you'll lose your starting job because of an injury, right? So if that's the case, I think we should see Tyler out there with Christian Anderson ready to go. Do they play two quarterbacks like they did with Tyheer and Cade Ballard when they did that Texas San Antonio? I'm not so sure they'll do that. But, you know, can Tyheer run those naked – can he be successful running those naked bootlegs? That's not really his game, right, guys? I mean, that's his game is really get the ball, kind of take off, look for a hole and go, you know. I'm not sure. It'd be interesting. The conversation is, does Army have a better chance with Tyheer at quarterback or Christian Anderson at quarterback in this game?
Let's have that conversation.
So
what do you think?
I think that they need whoever can run actual option plays the best. That's how they get this going, is that they have to give the ball to where the defenders aren't. And, you know, typically when you see these teams that don't see the triple option a lot, you're gonna really need to run on that midline option, but really also see probably more pitches than we would see typically during the regular season. So I've never seen Tyler pitch the ball, and I definitely haven't seen him, like, I've never thought, oh my God, that was a great pitch. So if they're just going to try to run quarterback zone, like, I don't know that that's necessarily going to work. Maybe it will the first series, but eventually West Virginia is going to adjust. I mean, how can they not? So they're going to have to open up the playbook just a little bit more and take more chances. We'll say, though, that I think Tyler's a better passer than Christian Anderson by quite a large margin.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. Sal, what do you think?
I'm just thinking, you know, there's a point that maybe you can get Anderson and Tyler on the field at the same time. Do you line up Tyler as a slot back? You know, maybe you let Anderson be the quarterback, and Tyler was playing slot back before, you know, he got hurt early in the preseason. Maybe you try to get those guys both on the field at the same time. Maybe I'm thinking out of the box a little bit when it comes to the Army offense, but why not? I mean, if you can get the ball in open space to a Tyler, I know you want to get the ball also to Terrell Robinson too, but maybe you can do that. Maybe you can get both of these guys on the field against West Virginia at one time.
So it'll be definitely interesting to see who comes out for quarterback, if we play one quarterback, if we play two quarterbacks. Sal, I kind of like your idea of having both on the field at the same time. However, you know, right now we have Robinson, who's playing slot back, and he is easily our most explosive player on the offensive side of the ball. If we put TT in the slot, does that kind of diminish Robinson's effect? Because, you know, he has two receiving touchdowns, zero rushing touchdowns. So in my opinion, he doesn't get the ball enough, especially if we need to string it out and run the option. He's the ideal pitcher man because he has that speed to turn the corner and get up the field. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what they decide to do. Does Ballard enter the conversation at all for either of you?
I don't. I think his biggest problem is that he wasn't taking snaps at quarterback with the starters over summer camp, and the coaches just haven't seen enough from him. It'll be interesting to see how it shakes out next season, but no, I don't think he's going to come on unless they need to start passing the ball towards the end of the game.
I thought he runs the offense pretty good, Dan, doesn't he? But I mean, who's the best pitching quarterback on Army right now?
Oh no, I think Cade Ballard might be the best quarterback on the team. I mean,
I agree.
He's definitely not. He handles the ball really well. Like, he reminds me of Kelvin Hopkins, the way that he handles the ball. You know, throws the ball, pitches the ball, that sort of thing. I just don't think that the coaches have seen enough from him, especially in his plebe year, to necessarily hand him the keys and just let him go.
But they're not doing that with Tyler. Because, you know, how many times has he pitched the ball? It's been three or four times. How many fumbles has he had? Three or four. So he does not pitch the ball well. End of the day, you know, that's the bottom line. I mean, he runs well. He runs between the tackles well. He runs in space well. But he does not pitch the ball well at all. So that leads me to think that Anderson's going to start. But Anderson hasn't started. The last time he did start, he didn't look good. So
I don't know. It's tough. This is definitely not where you want it to be when you were in summer camp. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I definitely think Tyheer Tyler is going to get the start, though.
I don't disagree with you, just because we've seen, you know, the most. We've seen him play the most out of all the other quarterbacks. I just think that, you know, we've established we need to run the option in this game. And I think if we want to run the option, we need to start Ballard or Anderson. But
I don't know if they can start them.
I don't know.
If they come out and they start Ballard, not only will Rob be the happiest man on earth, except for Cade Ballard's father, but it would really catch everybody off guard. So, you know, who knows? But yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Moving on to the final thing in our West Virginia preview, their special teams. Kicks have been good for less than 30 yards, 4 for 7 from 40 plus, and they haven't made a kick of 50 plus all season. So they're decently good on special teams. Dan, I know special teams has kind of become your baby this season, especially since Army has finally figured out how to kick a field goal, knock on wood. Who has the advantage? I know we have the advantage over Air Force. We have the advantage over Navy. Do we have the special teams advantage this week?
Yeah, it's a little hard to say in terms of punting. You know, they're not putting up – not only are punting statistics hard to find, but you're rarely going to see, like, punts in the highlights unless somebody runs it back for a touchdown. I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic. The West Virginia kicker missed a couple of critical field goals from, like, 40 yards out in some of the highlights that I saw. So I think Army might actually have a kicking advantage there, which is a little horrifying to actually say those words out loud. but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I guess we will. Sal, any thoughts on special teams?
I like the confidence that freshman Quinn Moretzky brings to the field. I really do. I think that guy, you know, in the past, you know, we're not kicking. We're not even attempting even 37-yard field goals in the past. Munkin's probably going for it on fourth down. I really like his composure. I think that he can make a big kick. I think he has the confidence to make a big kick in this game if needed. I think that the coaches will go to him. And I think that, you know, when you look at our punter, yeah, he's been really solid. At some point, he's been the most valuable player in some of these games. So I think that, you know, special teams, Army can hold now, and now they can hold with just, they can be at least in the conversation with special teams bench now, where in the past they really do that. I think either, you know, it's either a push or a slightly Army way in some of these games on special teams. So.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, moving on to one of our final sections, we have fact or fiction.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
For this week. And Dan, why don't you go ahead and open it up for us on your fact or fiction?
So I say fact or fiction, Army dominates time of possession with at least 35 minutes. Sal, what do you think?
I think that's fact.
All right. Jordan?
I think that's fact. I think that's the only way that we're going to win this game.
Yeah, so we are in fact agreement. If Army's going to have a chance, they're going to need at least 35 minutes time of possession. What's a little scary about that is that West Virginia has actually been pretty good this season about their own time of possession. So, but yeah, Army's going to need to dominate time of possession to have a chance here.
Yeah. Hand in hand with time of possession is our run game. So my fact or fiction is Army has 300 yards rushing, keeping in mind that West Virginia only allows 126 yards per game. Dan, what do you think?
Well, again, if they're going to have a chance, this really has to be a fact. So I'll say fact. Let me just caveat that by saying that if they can get the option going, like they can actually work a real midline option with the quarterback making reads, they can work that outside speed option and maybe even run the occasional counter option, which we haven't seen in quite some time, that they have every chance. You know, you would think against a team that doesn't see the option a lot, you would really be looking for some of that exotic stuff. But, you know, who knows? We'll see. I'm going to say fact.
Yeah. Sal, what do you think? 300 yards?
I'm going to say fiction. I think that they're going up against a really athletic defense. I think that unless, like Dan's saying, unless they can get something different going, if they're going with, you know, playbook A, you know, run dives, and I mean, they got to come up with something different in this game to surprise West Virginia, get West Virginia off their rhythm on defense, and you know, I don't know. Do we have some trick plays? Do we have a, you know, maybe a play action pass that can work? Maybe to tight end Chris Cameron. Something's got to open up. Their offense has to open up for them to have success, that much success on the ground.
Yeah, you definitely make some valid points. I don't think that we're going to be able to throw this ball very well against West Virginia, nor do I think we should. I think considering that they're giving up 4 yards per carry, I think the fact that they don't play option teams, they don't play teams that really run the ball, I think we just need to run the ball as much as we can and not, you know, play to their defense's strong suit. So for that reason, I'm going to go ahead and say fact. I could also see a win with, you know, upwards of 250 yards, you know, depending on how well the defense plays, if, you know, our defense plays well enough to keep it low scoring. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, like we've said from day one, it's going to depend on what West Virginia team shows up and what Army team shows up. And if Army shows up like we did against, you know, UTSA and like we did against, you know, some other teams this season, absolutely. But if, you know, if we show up like we did against Citadel or, you know, frankly, even Navy or Air Force, and we just can't sustain drives, can't move the ball effectively, it you might need to start your New Year's Eve drinking a little earlier. So, all right. Moving on to our final section, talking about favorite things, how to support the show. Dan, I see you have a favorite thing.
Yeah, well, we already talked about this a little bit, but my favorite thing is just that it's bowl season and that we've got a bunch of really interesting bowls that with some teams that you wouldn't ordinarily get a chance to see. You know, Buffalo beating Marshall 17-10. They didn't have Jared Patterson, but they still managed to eke out a win. They look good for the most part, especially on defense. It was a fun, entertaining game. And then we already talked about the Mullets versus the Mama's Boys there with the Coastal versus Liberty game. But yeah, I just love this part of the season. I, you know, seeing all these crazy teams and all these crazy matchups. You know, who thought at the beginning of the year that we were going to close out against West Virginia? So that's my favorite thing. It's just how awesome bowl season is.
Yeah, for sure. And that brings us to the end of the show. Sal, I want to thank you again for coming on. We appreciate it. For those of you listening, Sal maintains a very active presence on Twitter. Go ahead and follow him. He has a ton of insider knowledge on what goes on with the team. Additionally,
well, Jordan, let's give
us
him a minute to plug himself. Let's give him a chance to plug himself.
All right, Sal, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I mean, we rebooted our website, Black Knight Nation. We're doing a lot of podcasting. We did a podcast 5 straight days earlier this week. We kind of calmed it down during the holidays. We're really trying to get some Army football grads on there to talk about their experiences, what they think about the team, what they're doing now. Had Cole Masick on earlier this week. Excellent interview. Cole Masick, former fullback of Army, Hans team captain of the special teams, and now he's an MMA fighter. You know, I mean, we're starting to get some really nice traffic on our website, and we're on all platforms on podcasts at Black Knight Nation, and you can follow us on subscribe on YouTube also, and blacknightnation.com is where you can find my writing.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Sal, and for those of you listening who are regular listeners, make sure you follow us on Twitter, Facebook. If you're interested in becoming a Patreon member, you know, consider joining the Firstie Club. You'll get to interact with all the other Firsties, kind of hear the hot takes, and, you know, we push out content to them before, you know, we release it to everybody else. So also make sure to check out Emblem Athletic. They've been a fantastic sponsor. We want to, you know, hopefully have them sponsor us again next year. So make sure you go and check out their website. And with that, I think we're going to say go Army, beat West Virginia.
Beat them.